Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Brian Wachter joins us. He's Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. Here for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Hit the open road on a brand new Harley or win a bundle of cash during the $250,000 Harley-Davidson giveaways at Carson Valley Inn. Thousands in weekly giveaways, plus multiple grand prize winners, including cash and seven brand new Harleys. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
They want us to believe we only have two options. That's just not working anymore. I've never been a follower. I'm a businessman and entrepreneur. I'm ready to forge a new path to secure our future. One that keeps Northern Nevada free, fair, and wild. A path that means freedom for all, including affordable housing.
I'm Greg Kidd, and I approve this message because I'm not from either political party. I'm for Nevada.
As you know, Reno is booming. Tolls Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Tolls Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad on No Holds Barred Political Forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Brian Wachter. He is the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. Pleasure to have you back on the program, sir.
Always great to be here, Sam. Thank you for having me.
So this has been the most incredible political time that I can recall in my lifetime, at least. You know, at one moment you thought with the attempted assassination on former President Trump, that he would own this. You saw the debate and, you know, what a debacle that was. You saw that it was really money that ended that campaign for President Biden. And that campaign was worth $300 million in the first week when Vice President Harris stepped in. And now the acclamation, as we're taping this, the convention is in its last couple of days. What are your thoughts on the historical perspective of what we've seen over the last few weeks?
You know, I think we're going to have to give voters a little bit of chance to kind of catch up, so to speak, right? We've had a lot of things, to your point, happen over a relatively short amount of time, and things that are, again, outside normal precedent. This is not the traditional path that we've taken in modern times, right? This is a little bit more akin, I think, to the history books I read, Sam, where you had some power brokers in the party would get in a smoke-filled room in the back and they would pick the candidates. And sometimes they didn't do too bad. And it seems to be something that has really paid off for the vice president at the moment. Now, I'm not entirely convinced that this water rise that she's having for her campaign wouldn't have necessarily materialized for Biden in the end anyway. You know, this is kind of those it provides that jolt of enthusiasm for voters that perhaps were missing it under Biden. But we really haven't seen, I think, the fundamentals of the race really change even through all of the events that you mentioned, which is probably the more extraordinary thing, I think, Sam.
All right, but don't you think that the country was ready for a generational change That in too many of our leaders, and this is not unique. I mean, we've seen this throughout, you know, our modern history, or at least over the last 125 years of seeing senators, for example, being as old as 100 years old, Strom Thurmond coming to mind, who is still voting. But is not the country looking for a generational change to where we're electing people to these high offices that know how to work a cell phone?
Well, what I would say is they were looking for that generational change before the primary process started for 2024. It wasn't suddenly. They didn't wake up in July, but like, you know, it'd be really great to have. This is something that the country has been talking about. The primary base voters were talking about it. We have the two oldest men who have ever run for president running for president again. Yes, of course. I think any chance that you have to have the generation that is, you know, incredibly invested in what the next 20, 30, 40 years look like, I think it makes for better policy. But it wasn't sudden, Sam. I think it was Ambassador Haley that was mentioning whichever party jettisoned their octogenarian first was going to be successful in November. The Democrats read the tea leaves, and pivoted at a time that seem to be incredibly successful. And it seems to be where you're having the Trump campaign is really struggling to capture back that media attention, that earned media, and the narrative. And so it's going to be incumbent upon him to come back for it. But this isn't a new concern. This is just the result of finally, I think, the powers that be listening to the base for once.
Were you surprised that instead of having four or five potential candidates for the presidency on the Democratic side, that the party came together and pushed forward the vice president, that she wasn't just part of the mix of maybe a short list of people that would be pushed toward that?
I think the party, and I have no insight knowledge into this, Sam, but I think you can see a situation where the party knew that starting a prolonged primary battle in July was probably a guaranteed way of making sure that their chances in November were even smaller than they were at the time. Does it surprise me how quickly they coalesced and were able to know who that one candidate was? I think so. I think we have to remember that the vice president did not do great in her own presidential run for a variety of reasons. Some of it was because of the progressive litmus test. She couldn't get out of a Democratic primary without having to explain some of the decisions she made as DA and some of the decisions she was making as attorney general. And so I think a little surprised that they kind of took that risk, that even though she's being painted as this left progressive kind of ideologist, her actual actions in California as a prosecutor really don't speak to that. And so I'm surprised that they were willing to pick someone who has that background that is not entirely enjoyed by the progressive left.
I know that Retail Association does a lot of private polling. Can you share with us the thoughts of the independents, or at least people who are registered as independents, because it's hard to know because of DMV registration, who are really independents versus Democrats or Republicans who got listed as independents. But are we going to end up in the same place we normally do in elections, where R's vote for R's, D votes for D's, and it's this small sliver of less than 10% that make the final decisions of where our elections end up?
Well, what I would tell you, Sam, is it's not a mystery who these nonpartisan voters are. You can buy off-the-shelf data. You can go into, the voter file. These aren't mystery voters. And we know, based on our research and our polling, that they, even as nonpartisans, have an ideological bent. They may be motivated by different, single one-off issues, but they are not entirely, devoid of a political ideology or a bias. And so in a lot of these cases, even the nonpartisans are pretty baked in. We're really looking at a very, very small percentage of folks who truly haven't made up their mind, or don't have a side that they're already leaning to. And I put that number at 4 or 5%, maybe. And so most of these races are not going to be, I think, such a shock in November, just the way that they were redistricted and because of who those nonpartisans actually are.
So all this money that has been raised so far and all the money that is continuing to be raised is all going towards 5% or less of the population in the battleground states.
I'm trying to remember, Sam. I think the 2020 election was decided by 90,000 voters in four different states. Yeah, we're spending $1 billion to talk to about 100,000 people spread out amongst three, four, five counties, maybe at most. That's what a modern presidential election looks like.
It's quite stunning. Okay, let's take a break. We'll come back much more with Brian Wachter after this timeout.
Come one, come all, it's the $125,000 carnival of cash and prizes at Tamarack Casino. Get in on the fun with cash and free play prize drawings every Thursday and Saturday, including winners of up to $1,000 and a top prize of $5,000 guaranteed each week. Your good times are at Tamarack Casino.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Like a traditional handmade basket, retail is woven into the fabric of life in Nevada. From big box to mom and pop, retail supports our communities in countless ways. Jobs for the disabled, team uniforms for kids, help for the elderly, and so much more. Retail employs over 1 in 10 workers. Retail supports Nevada, and we support retail.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Here on 7 at 7, we're bringing you the local headlines in just 7 minutes.
We've got you covered in the morning, evening, and for all breaking news, in between, and as it happens.
Life is busy, and we don't waste your time. Join us for local news now streaming on our YouTube page.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter. He is the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. You know, the two of the bigger issues are the economy, obviously, and immigration. Does immigration really play that big a role in the minds of the average person, unless they're living in a state that borders, the southern border?
I think not unless they are advertised to in that way, Sam. I mean, we have a very vibrant immigrant population in Nevada from, I think, almost probably 100 different countries. They are upstanding citizens. They pay more in taxes usually than the natural born citizens. And statistically, they're involved in less crime than natural born citizens. And they help us fuel a workforce that, struggles in certain key industries. And so I think they're is a huge need, and Nevada should be as welcoming to those people as much as possible. How it affects people and their daily lives, I mean, I think there are some symptoms, but outside the political realm of being told that this is a huge, scary problem, I'm not sure if most people would be thinking about this on a daily issue.
You know, you bring up a really good point, which is that the media, whether it's, the news media or the political media, push certain attitudes about communities that in a lot of cases are a microcosm of that community where the community is actually doing just fine. And I mean, I can certainly attest to Reno being a very nice place to live. My times in Las Vegas, I mean, like any big city, I know what areas not to go to because I do the same thing in London or New York. There are areas I don't go to because I know that those are not good areas for somebody to go to. But in general, I think Las Vegas and Reno are very nice places to live. But if your only information about them was from the news media or political campaigns, these are awful places to live. And I mean, that just is crazy.
No, I mean, it certainly, I think, colors that perspective, you know, to the point where, you know, we've been in situations where people then are asking, you know, state assembly or state Senate candidates what their plans on the immigration front and how they're going to stop people from coming into the border indiscriminately. And the average voter has no idea that a Nevada state assemblyman or a Nevada state senator has, you know, virtually zero control over immigration. We're not a border state. We have no control over the federal government. But this is an issue that, you know, voters have been told you should ask your elected officials about and don't kind of understand that different levels of federalism. And so that's how much this is kind of seeping into it, is you're demanding state legislative candidates do something on immigration, and literally not their wheelhouse, but that's what the voters are constantly having that conversation with.
One of the topics, obviously, at the top of the list is the economy. And certainly for all of us that go to the grocery store, we've seen a dramatic increase in prices. Some of them are starting to come down. But what do you think about these attacks that are coming, certainly from the Democratic side, in terms of price gouging or the appearance of it? That doesn't jive with capitalism to me.
Well, you know, price gouging is weird. You know, in the economic realm, there's really no definition for that term. The state of Nevada does put a price cap on items during states of emergencies, and it's a requirement that we cannot raise our prices over a standard amount when that state of emergency has been called. But what happens there when you don't have so-called price gouging, Sam, is you start running out of products. And I think we can all remember, you know, the 3 weeks in that fateful March that no one could buy toilet paper. If price gouging were a common tool, there would have been plenty of toilet paper because there would have been $20 a roll and you wouldn't have enjoyed paying that price, but there would have been toilet paper on the shelf, because what you're doing is economically prohibiting someone from buying perhaps more than they can use or what they need. And so you're able to even out that supply and demand. As we know, during the entire process of COVID, that didn't happen. And that's why, you know, we ran into such high shortages on almost every product at some point when you wanted it. What we do have to take a look at is the inputs for the cost of all of those materials for that box of Wheaties that we're selling you, Sam, has actually risen. Transportation has increased, the manufacturing, the point has increased, the actual grain that is going into the cereal has increased. And so a lot of times it's actually cost more to produce and transport the product than any of the profit margins going to be. And you know, you can sit here and say, you know, well, the profitability of retailers proves that they were playing fast and loose with pricing, and it's simply not true. You know, retail is making, you know, 1/10 of a penny on every transaction, and we make our money because we're selling trillions of products on a regular basis. And so when the government sends everyone down into lockdown and then sends them a stimulus check and says you can't go anywhere to do with it, people start buying more products. And so instead of selling a trillion widgets, we sold 1.5 trillion widgets. And so you're making an extra cent on every single one of those widgets is going to lead to that higher profit margin, just because retail is based on volume. But for, you know, every given kind of price increase that you've seen where people have noticed, be it eggs or meat or cheese, these are prices that are typically not actually set by the retailer, but are baked in through the process to get them to the grocery store, as well as what it takes to actually manufacture them.
One of the other factors with the increase in costs is wages. There's been giant pushes over the last few years to get wages up, but there is a natural reflex that if you're paying more in wages, then you have to charge a higher price for the product. And you can certainly see this in restaurant pricing. For, you know, the smaller restaurants, it's incredibly difficult for them to get the staff. They certainly have to pay them to maintain their product. But at the same time, you have, you know, fast food companies doing their level best to lower the costs to be able to maintain their business.
Now, you've certainly seen, you know, kind of that price cap on what consumers are certainly willing to spend. And they've reached the point where they have reached the limit of their shopping behavior changes that they want or are really willing to make. And we've started to see prices reflect that change in demand. But what I will say is, you know, labor costs typically are the most expensive costs for a business. And so since we've had that input, you know, that is one of several, and it's the largest, that are leading to an increase, you know, down the entire vertical integration line. And so when you're adding that increase at every step of the way, that final price has to reflect what that is. And there's a lot of different ways companies and product manufacturers go about trying to make sure that they can give the product to the consumer who wants to buy it at a price that they're willing to do that at.
All right, let's take another break. More with Brian Wachtup when we come back.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low, and our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way, because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
I've been a doctor for over 30 years, and I'm committed to getting my patients life-saving care. So when I hear Sam Brown say one thing and his record says another, I have to speak out. Sam Brown supports allowing states to ban abortion, even in cases of rape, even to protect the life of the mother. We need senators focused on improving health care, not someone like Sam Brown who wants to make decisions for my patients.
Wynn Senate is responsible for the content of this ad.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Brian Wachter. He is the Senior Vice President of the Retail Association of Nevada. Is this the year that the Hispanic voice is really heard, according to what you're seeing in your polling?
I think the Hispanic universe has been playing a huge role in the last presidential cycles, certainly the midterms. I think at this point, if you are ignoring that demographic, you're doing it at your own peril. The other thing I would suggest is that the Hispanic vote, it's not a monolith. There are huge chunks of the Hispanic vote that are very much pro-Trump, and they're very persuasive in turning to bring more Hispanics on that side. And then there's a huge coalition of Hispanics that are very much more, you know, fans of the vice president and fit more into those demographic or democratic ideologies. And so what I would say is if you're not paying attention to them as a campaign, then you're going to lose. But if you're treating them as this one giant monolith, you're also going to lose.
Well, I guess my question was based on a conversation I had with a leading Hispanic politician here in Northern Nevada who said that it is still difficult to get that community to go out and vote. So, you know, there's still a large amount that could be done to motivate more Hispanics to actually go to the voting booth. And of course, you're 100% right. It is not a monolith. We use the term Hispanic, but it is not a monolithic community. I mean, it is all kinds of opinions and countries and all the rest of it. But do you feel that we're at 50% of where we should be in terms of Hispanic voting turnout, or do we still have a ways to go?
Well, the Retail Association would prefer if everyone who was eligible to vote voted, Sam. And so anything that we can do to be making sure that more people are paying attention, providing more accountability to their elected officials, the better. And again, it's incumbent upon those campaigns to identify, who they're talking to, how they're going to help that community, and listening to that community. That community does not always want to talk about immigration. They don't always want to talk about foreign policy support to South American countries. They live here just with us. And especially when you start getting into second and third generation Hispanics, they look exactly, act exactly, and are Americans. And so you really run into a hard spot if you're a campaign that you're really not understanding who these folks are. And then if you're not going to go out and get them, then your opponent probably will.
You raise a number of really great points there, Brian. And my point from the advertising agency side of my business, for the last 30 years, I've been trying to tell people, Hispanics of whatever country they come from all need all the same products everybody else does. And so it's just a question of, if you're not applying to that market, commercially, you're missing out on a large chunk of the market. And if you're not doing it politically, obviously, as you pointed out, you're doing the same thing. You're missing out. Thank you for doing this, sir, as always. I always appreciate seeing you. And not too long, and we'll all be in Carson City.
Yes, we will. Thanks, Sam.
Sorry about that. All right, Brian Wachter, we'll be right back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real, it's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Mom!
It happens. And when it does, there's UMC Quick Care.
Modern boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day on various platforms, including television, radio, our website, audio and video podcasts, YouTube. If you want to find the show, you can find it pretty darn easily. And we cover politics, business, health, and education. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time.